Welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and with the podcast still recovering from recent internet security breaches, where are my two podcasting firewalls? Firstly, he's our secure server of statistics, with an encryption longer than a queue down Fletcher Street on Boxing Day. Yes, it's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, he'll throw any hacker off with his malware tackle bag distractions. Yes, our very own Trojan horse has done his way well.
All right. Just before you start, have you got your firewall set? Have you got your VPN on? And have you got your cyber security? And most of all, have you just got the fucking plug so you can unplug it before we carry on?
I mean, you find out who your friends are, Dennis, in a moment of crisis, don't you? Because there you were by my side. Where did Mr. Sankey go? Where did he go to?
Mr. Sankey's still recovering from when I got hacked myself about 3 months ago.
Oh, dear.
I still don't do my banking on this laptop anymore.
Jesus.
Well, we're going to change the order around a bit tonight, lads, because clearly there's been a few breaking news stories at Wire this week. So,
before that, John Craven's News Round.
Chairman Stuart Middleton says the Warrington board made the wrong decision to appoint former head coach Darryl Powell. Asked by BBC Radio Merseyside's Phil Kinsella whether Powell's appointment was wrong, here's what Middleton had to say.
I think this has been coming for a while, actually. And I think on Sunday was just the pinnacle. I think we started off well with the winning the first 8 games, and then after that we dropped off. I think the Magic weekend against Hull was disappointing. You know, we had a good start and then just fell apart, and then to be knocked out the Challenge Cup in the way we did by Wigan, that sort of got us to asking questions. You know, what's wrong? You know, we've got a good squad on paper there. You know, we've got some talented players there, and why are we dropping off? You know, let's have a look at and see what's going on. And so again, from there, we start asking the questions, and it was going downhill, and we start to lose games, and this can't continue. And again, it was just the icing on the cake to not disrespect to Wakefield, but they are at the bottom there, and they out infused us and outplayed us, outskilled us, everything, and that wasn't right. And right now, time for change.
When you look back to appointing Darryl, he's been there since the end of November 2021. Easy to say now when you've let him go, but do you look back and think that you got it wrong?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But probably, yes. Yeah, I think we did. I'm asking the question now, and I think it's, you know, we've got to look at ourselves as well, and think, you know, what we got wrong as well. And I think that we had too many changes too quick. And I think the way we treated people wasn't quite right as well. That didn't sit with me very well. And I think last year getting rid of so many players and what have you, and you know, I don't think we brought exactly some of the right ones in. You know, we were short in the forwards, and last year's results was very, very disappointing. You know, again, after putting all the resources in place, and I think we've learned now that in future, I think we've got to ask a lot more questions now, and not just give somebody a free rein and let them do what they want. You know, we have to challenge things if we think it's not right. And I think we didn't get it right last year. And I think it's, you know, we must make sure that we don't go through that procedure again.
Hashtag threw him under the bus, Sam?
I think so, a little bit. I've listened to that 3 times. And I couldn't decide whether he was throwing him under the bus or he was genuinely saying, in hindsight, they got rid of too many people too soon in the first season. But yet, he was sort of saying it was all down to one man, but it's not just one man, is it? You win and lose as a team, really.
He was put on the spot a bit, I thought. I was sort of very critical of it when I heard it, and then I spoke to my brother, and he was like, well, you know, the kind of the way it was worded to him, and he probably wasn't media savvy, that he kind of went down this, I don't know, he sort of dug himself a hole when he started talking, really. But if you asked me, in hindsight, was it wrong to appoint Daryl Powell, I would say yes. But if you also ask me, in hindsight, should you have appointed any rugby league coach in the whole of the world for Warrington as Daryl Powell came in, was it wrong? I'd say yes, because I think the problems lie deeper than the coach. And I don't think there was any responsibility there from Middleton, apart from being honest and saying he hired the wrong person. It was a convoluted mess. The whole thing doesn't add up. Is that right, Dennis?
There's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to unpack. I've got nothing else for the podcast but this bit. Right, okay, where do we start? Firstly, I think I might have been wrong about a bit of Daryl Powell. I still think there was a bit of a few naive decisions that he made around what he was doing. Mm. But we also need to think about, you know, everybody blaming Cal Fitzpatrick. And maybe it's not particularly Cal Fitzpatrick, because I think what we're starting to hear, and it's been very enlightening, the fact that his role is not what we would see as a CEO. It doesn't sound like he's set up as a CEO. He's more like a facilities manager. And I think he's only got responsibility for the high-vis vests and the ticket sales and all the things around it. But he's not running the club as such, by the sounds of it. So then you have to question, well, what the hell's going on? I mean, Middleton's the chairman, sticking his nose in. And from what we've heard, I mean, certainly from a week ago, when he was talking about, you know, we're not going to have a knee-jerk reaction and due diligence. Look where we are a week on. We've had, you know, an offer within 48 hours to Holbrook, which he wasn't really going to come because of the family thing. So there was no due diligence there. And it was a knee-jerk reaction straight away. And here we are a week later and we're offering somebody else a thing. So I think what this is showing is where the problem is, and you've just alluded to that, is that this is there's no leadership at this club. Who's running the club? Who's running it? And actually, you know, it's all too nicey-nicey. Oh, yeah, well, we need to look at ourselves, and we treated people wrong. Well, you are the chairman. You're involved. You're signing off on all this. So it's just so fucking obvious now. It really is that there's no leadership in the club, and this is what you get with, like, you know, Cal Fitzpatrick doing a you know, facilities manager. It's just an absolute joke, the whole lot.
I was really struggling to find what we were going to call this podcast as a title. You know, sometimes it stands out, but is it the blind leading the blind? Is that what this title needs to be called? I feel, Sam, the missus likes doing jigsaws, and she hates it when there's a couple of pieces missing and we can't see the full picture. I think we were given a few more of the corners this week. And as Dennis said, it's like, oh, okay. There's a few more levels of sort of, dare I say, incompetence going on amongst the structure of this club. But we're still unsure, are we?
You know, I have high regard for the directors of this club in terms of they put the money where the mouth is, they're fully behind the club and all those things. So my first caveat of the night.
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
Is I don't want this to be a have a go at Simon Stewart or Carl.
No, but it's very hard, isn't it? We've reached this stage now where
yes,
we're just tiptoeing round everything.
Yeah, I think Dennis is probably right. I wouldn't say facilities manager, but yeah, Carl seems more like a general manager of the day-to-day stuff.
Human resources?
Well, whatever. He clearly is involved with the rugby as well. But ultimately, when you've got Simon with plenty of money and Stuart with plenty of money, putting plenty of money into the club, ultimately the sign-off on decisions come from them, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah. Now, if they don't agree with it, it doesn't happen, I would suggest.
I want to go... I watched last week because it's really relevant to this. There's a guy called Jerry Robinson. He replaced Harvey Jones on the BBC for this business programme, where he goes into businesses and he identifies what the problem is. And he goes into particularly like family businesses and so on, where people have found themselves in position in a struggling business and they can't work out what's going on. And the whole emphasis of the programme is he identifies it's the top blokes and the leadership. And because they've found themselves in this position where they've got money and they've got the heart and soul into the business, but they're not necessarily the right people to run that business. And it's so fucking obvious. This is what's going on at Warrington. I'm not tiptoeing around it because the thing is that if he went in there now, he would be saying exactly the same thing. You can go and watch it. There's two of them on YouTube. He'll go in and he'll say, you know what? You're not the right person to run this. You need to get someone in with experience. And that's why this is all failing. There's no leadership.
We've had a few messages come into the podcast this week on a similar narrative, and that is that these guys are obviously very successful men. They've made their millions. And there's sort of this contrast of how they made their millions in what they've achieved as their businesses in comparison to running Warrington, because it does seem a contrast. I know they balance the books, but that's because they've got money. But they've clearly got a business mind to run their own businesses correctly, but it doesn't seem to equate into running Warrington Rugby League Club.
Well, can I just, I'm glad you've just said about balancing the books, because sporting clubs are a special beast, aren't they? So you could argue that actually the day-to-day operation of Warrington Wolves, since they've moved to the Halliwell Jones, is and has been successful in terms of the club aren't in debt. Yes, they've got rich backers, but they have turned a profit on several years in an area, sports clubs in rugby league, where most of them go bust. So you could argue that the day-to-day business side is quite good. It's the sporting side that we have almost been successful at, but keep failing at the last hurdle. So
it's not been the last hurdle recently, Sam.
Not recently, no, but I'm talking across the sort of, how long we've been at the HA now, 15, 16 years?
Has there been a diminish in our success if we look at each CEO under Simon Moran? If we sort of did the win ratio for each CEO, I wonder where they would stand. Has it continued to slide? You know, did we win more under Draper? I can't remember who was before Draper.
No, before it was Andy Gatcliffe.
Did we win more under Gatcliffe?
Andy Gatcliffe was an accountant, really.
Right.
Whereas Carl, his background, I know he's done his business degrees, but his background is rugby league, isn't it?
That's always a worry, isn't it? Don't let a rugby league player run a club.
Hey, and the other thing as well is that when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about it with an unemotional detachment. I'm not saying that the people involved are not great people. What I'm saying is that they need to recognise the fact that they're not the people to know how to make the club successful, and they're creating their own problems.
That interview was a mess. That we did not come out on the right side of that interview. We came away from that interview with everyone questioning Stuart Middleton, saying that was a mess. And if I was a coach and I was considering taking on the Warrington role, if I listened to that, I'd think, well, he's not got my back. You know, I just don't think he was media savvy when he did that interview. And I think Phil Kinsella is very good at asking hard-hitting questions which fall outside the domain of what's been asked to Daryl at the press conferences.
The worrying thing out of all this is that he mentioned about that, you know, we've identified that there's a degree of incompetence in what they're doing, and they're going to take that now into the more of the decision making in the team. They're not going to leave it exclusively for the coach. I think that's also reflected in the fact that, you know, they were throwing a 4-year contract with big bonuses to Justin Albrook, and they've thrown a 2-year one at Sam Burgess, and let's see how that goes. So they're clearly going to be involved with it.
Warning, you have broken the time frame continuum. Warning, you have broken the time frame continuum.
I tell you what, Sam, he is breaking the time frame continuum. He's just getting ahead of himself. To all the listeners, Dennis is wearing a wig tonight. What is it based on, that wig? Who's that supposed to be? I mean, it's longer than Kevin Keegan in his
That's exactly what I was going for, superstars, Kevin Keegan. But I do feel like I should belong in a band, like the Bay City Rollers or something.
Who was the very pretty girl that used to do The Word? Was it The Word with the Mancunian? It'll come to me later.
All right.
Okay, right. At the end of the week, it seems Warrington narrowly missed their man, with Justin Holbrook having allegedly said yes to come into the Halliwell Jones as Wire's new coach on a lucrative contract. Tickets were penciled in for Holbrook to fly to Ringway last Sunday, but at the last moment, Holbrook backed out. He has since taken a coaching position with the Eastern Sydney club, the Roosters. I mean, if we'd lost confidence to start with after the Middleton interview, what a pickle this was. He really did take us for a ride, didn't he? He really did take us for a ride. The thing that stood out for me, having worked in the relocation industry for 25 years and focusing on the supportive spouse, the first thing you do is look at them to see if he or she will settle into where they're moving to as an expat. And it was clear that Holbrook's family didn't want to come, yet we're still apparently doing our due diligence, but clearly knowing fuck all about the expat industry, inviting a man over where it's all going to go. Absolute clusterfuck. I couldn't believe that. I was banging my head on the table when I saw that. Off the back of that, and I've said this before, I did a lot of relocation work over the years for football and rugby union teams. The only league team that ever embraced us that realised that it was all about well-being and about the supportive partner was the Leeds Rhinos. It's amateurish. It's amateurish in terms of ticking boxes to make sure people are right for the role. I just don't get it.
Is this a knee-jerk reaction, Sam?
In which, what? From Rob or from Warrington Wolves?
No, from Warrington, because let's just frame that as the fact that he did go back, and it was well known he went back for family reasons. And
yes,
that, you know, that wasn't that long ago. Things haven't changed that much. What's your thoughts?
My thoughts are they were perfectly within their rights, and I would have expected them to get on the phone to Justin Holbrook and say, you were over here, you went back, do you want to come back again? Are you ready to give it another go over here or not? I think that was perfectly reasonable. He's recently come out of a job. He was successful here fairly recently, and it could work. However, what I don't quite get, and this is where I agree with Rob, how it got so far down the line to be right at the very last minute. I'm glad he did say no. I'm much happier that he said no at the last minute rather than getting here
anyway
and saying no in January. But what I also don't get is all of us seem to be watching it almost hour by hour, it being played out in the media. Bloody place leaks like a sieve, doesn't it? And so I do have to wonder how much of it was perhaps Holbrook's agent saying, oh, my man's still in demand.
Yeah, yeah.
If any of you have got an assistant job. Yeah. But it was played out in the media, which makes us look bad again, rather than us having a quiet word off the record. Do you want to have a proper look at this, Justin? Would you be committed? And all that type of thing.
Yeah, bizarre. Well, as one respected coach turned Warrington down, another man threw his keys in the bowl. Yes, a man not to be sniffed at, Sam Burgess. And by Monday evening, Warrington announced Sam Burgess as their new coach. Burgess will join Wire in 2024 on a two-year contract. Gary Chambers will remain as interim coach, and next season will be appointed director of rugby.
Are we going to discuss his on-field stuff, what he's achieved so far? What has he achieved on the field, i.e. in his coaching career?
As a coach, well, he hasn't really... I mean, he's coached a team up in Queensland a little bit last year.
Yeah.
And he's been in the dressing room at Souths, I presume, you know, giving encouragement. And there is Sam Burgess, you know, for players to look up to. There's no doubt on the field. He was a magnificent player. He was probably cut short a little bit by the shoulder injury. But he was the toughest man in the NRL, you know. Led from the front. Beautiful ball handler. Quick. Deceptive. Smart footballer. Smart footballer. Would have loved him at Warrington when he was in his mid-20s. I mean, he went to the NRL at a pretty young age, didn't he? And stood out. And he's in terms of him on the field... and the way he's depicted here, he's an utter legend. He's a legend. Mm. He is, you know, he's the Ryan Giggs of Sydney.
So is he? Is it throwing his keys then into it, into the, you know, the mix? Is he really chancing his arm? Is he looking for somebody to give him that chance?
Possibly. I mean, we put the vote out to the listeners. What do you want? Would you want Sam Burgess at our club? We had 518 votes. I think about 30% went with yes, I'm fine with that, and about 70% with no way whatsoever. So the early indications were, when this came along, was I think we all kind of sent a few WhatsApp messages to each other and thought, are we for real here? We should probably, before we go on sort of to talk about what we think he'll achieve at Warrington, let's clear up the elephant in the room and let's just talk about Sam Burgess's history away from the field.
Well, we're sorry, we obviously have one or two problems with getting to our programme. We hope to join it in just a few seconds. In the meantime, a bit of music.
Well, some excellent points there, boys. No doubt about it. I mean, Sam didn't stay on the fence there, and Dennis, some of the things you came up with certainly thought provoking, and I think it's quite clear that I led the way there. So, we'll let that settle in with the listener. We're not one to hold back, and we'll see what kind of reaction we get to that. Now, Sam, moving on to him at the Halliwell Jones. What are you expecting from Sam Burgess in a coaching role?
It's hard to know what his credentials are. What you've got to look at is the way he led the teams that he was playing with. So if you look across sport, and obviously I'm a big cricket fan, you look at what Ben Stokes is doing now and what McCullum as their coach. But is McCullum actually coaching the England cricket team, or is it more about mindset and harnessing their ability because they're already good players? So I feel it will be crucial, absolutely crucial, what people he has around him for the day-to-day coaching. Now, obviously, Gary Chambers is going to be director of rugby, if that's going to be the actual title. I don't know, but the director of coaching of rugby type role.
We could do with the actual job description, because having known that Carl's actually doing sort of the toilet duties and stuff, we need to know exactly what Chambers is doing, don't we?
Will do you think, I mean, will it come with a company car? Because I sold Gary Chambers a Renault Clio in 1994 at Belcharm Motor Company in Latchford. I'm just wondering if he's still got that car.
Is this going to be a running theme now?
Gary was a big lad. I'm wondering whether that Renault Clio actually got up any hills if he was taking himself.
I think it was only the 1.2 engine as well. So, and it would have had a catalytic converter on it. It wouldn't have had much torque.
But if you just look across to Wigan, though, isn't this? I mean, Matty Pete is not the same top draw name as Sam Burgess.
Fits in,
isn't
this? It?
But isn't this exactly what Wigan doing with Sean Wayne, Shane Warne in the background overseeing stuff and Pete in charge of the first team?
I think there's no doubt that, you know, We've talked about them being a bunch of reprobates at Warrington, and we're getting a reprobate in to coach them. So it will kind of fit. They will identify with him very well. So that'll work. He's not going to stand out. He's going to be one of them. I mentioned before, I think, that, you know, if Dudson kicks off in the dressing room, Burgess will take him on. And I know who's going to win. Burgess is the toughest man in that dressing room still. He might have retired, but put them in a fight, any of that lot in a room, Burgess is going to knock hell out of them, right? He's on a different level. So they're all going to be frightened of him. It's a bit like that Boyd mentality when Boyd took control of the dressing room under Tony Barrow. I think you've got Gary Chambers in the background with his Renault Clio as the director of rugby, possibly just being able to just smooth over the edges where Sam gets it wrong. So that will all work. I just wonder whether fighting fire with fire is going to work.
Order in Chambers. Mr. London, may I just take you back to Stuart Middleton's quote on how we treat people. I don't think any kind of violence in the changing room is appropriate at this next stage. Thank you. Overruled.
Comment withdrawn, Your Honour.
In the Warrington Guardian today, so we're on Tuesday the 8th of August, Stuart Middleton has done a little follow-up piece on, and this is where I get it. I thought what he said was good, which I'll come on to in a moment. I get it, but it's completely opposite to the way we were going just 7 days ago. Mm. And in the Guardian today, he says, we've tried going for experienced coaches. So what we thought we'd do is mix it up a bit and do something a bit left field and go for a guy who was undoubtedly a genius of a player and a leader of men.
In hindsight, was that a mistake? In hindsight, was that a mistake? I mean, are we asking this question next week or next year?
I've got a bit of a scam going on with the Warrington Guardian. You know, you have to subscribe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
So when you click on the story, they titillate you with the story for a little bit on the screen before it disappears. Hmm. Plenty of time to just screen grab it.
Talking about titillation, is Sam Burgess, you know, the appointment of a titillation and a sensationalism appointment?
Oh, we'll definitely get a lot of media coverage. You can next year. We're on telly, aren't we? First game of the season. No doubt about it. It'd be interesting to see the chemistry between him and Jenna Brooks, how that will pan out.
Why? Are you referring to what we've already discussed?
Just be interesting to see if she's going to hit him with some hard-hitting questions. I think we'll start very well. I think we will start quite well under him because that motivational side of things will come to the fore. And depending on who comes behind him, there is rumour, and I don't think it's true, but Sean Long, coincidentally, was sort of parted company with Featherstone Rovers on the same day. We've brought in Martin Gleeson till the end of the season. We've gone like full circle, haven't we? You know, Tony Smith showed all these guys the door, and all of a sudden they're like all being welcomed back to run the asylum. Bloody hell!
It's like going back to the days in the Lord Rodney on a Friday night when they were standing on tables swinging their shirts around the heads.
Maybe this is where we've been going wrong, Dennis, all these years.
I know.
I mean, I can remember three of them urinating against Osborne estate agents at about 6 o'clock in an afternoon in Stockton Heath in broad daylight back in the day when I lived in Stockton Heath. Is this what we need to go back to? Is this... I mean, Christmas party...
I'm interested
to
know what question would you ask Sam Burgess in terms of what sort of team he's going to have and things like that. What sort of questions would you ask?
In hindsight, Sam...
Oh, is this Sam, our Sam?
That's going to get confusing, Sam. Isn't it? That's going to get confusing.
Yeah.
Why don't we refer to Sam Burgess as Samuel? Should we do it that way?
Just call me Sankey from now on. Just call me Sankey.
I don't want to downgrade you, Sam. You are the Sam, and I have no doubt that you will outlast the other Sam. So I don't think it's fair that the new Sam that's coming in...
So you're writing him off then?
Oh, we should probably say that, should we? We should probably... Right, come on then. And then it's clearly being recorded, so we can play this back in hindsight.
Yes.
Okay.
Sam.
I'll ask you now, Sam. Sam.
Yes.
Have we made the correct decision?
Is this Sam Sankey?
Sam Sankey. Have we made the correct decision, Sam Sankey, to sign Sam Burgess? And will Sam Burgess, Sam Sankey, last the 2 years? Or do you expect, Sam Sankey, that Sam Burgess will not last the 2 years? Sam.
Sankey.
Oh, God, this is hard, isn't it?
Oh, he's
where's a coin? Let me just a minute.
Oh, it's on a coin.
Pathetic. Yeah. Pathetic.
He will last the 2 years.
And he's a success.
Excellent. Yeah. Same question for you, Rob.
No. It won't. It'll be a clusterfuck. Well, of course it'll be a clusterfuck. Everything's a clusterfuck at Warrington, isn't it? Why are we suddenly thinking this is going to work? Jesus.
You didn't ask me whether we'd win the Super League. In the meantime, for a success, I'm just saying top four.
Toss a coin again? So,
no, we won't win the Super League. Not in 2 years.
Right. No. Okay. No. Dennis, with your wig on. Jenny Powell. Was it Jenny Powell?
Jenny Powell. Oh, no.
Don't get yourselves aroused. Come on. Bring it back round. We've had enough of that last week with the bloody channel getting all infiltrated. No, this isn't going to work because, as I've already explained, you've got the wrong people making the wrong decisions.
What? What was that?
Yeah, no, I don't know what happened there. No, it won't.
I will. Can I just finish on one point? And Mrs. London said the other day, she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I'm sad. I'm a little bit sad. I mean, I've watched Warrington, you know, for a long, long time. I went to my first game in 1976 at Wilderspool. I'm sad because ever since that year I went to watch Warrington, there's always been a part of me that's thought, we're going to do it this year. We're going to do it this year. And at the moment I'm thinking, we've got to get through this before there's the chance of doing it again.
Yes.
Mm. Does that make
sense?
Is it
relegation? Yeah, is it relegation next year?
And I think there's a lot of fans out there that feel sad about this. I think there's between the lines. I think there's an underlying, what kind of club are we? What principles do we have? We are very hypocritical, the way we float from being a family-run club. And I won't say any more. I'm sad. Mm. Thomas McAley has rejoined Warrington from the Gold Coast on a deal until the end of the season. Only 4 months ago, McAley returned to Australia on compassionate grounds. During his time back in Oss, he played just 40 minutes of NRL. It is yet to be confirmed whether the big prop will move back into the bungalow or seek alternative accommodation. Life in the bungalow can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on rodeo. If you like Tokyo and hate what's on the radio, come over to the bungalow. I'd like to show you around. Life is a prison. Sam, now come on, where are we at with the bungalow? Is it for sale still? I can't find the right move anymore.
It has sold.
Oh.
Where's Sam going to live?
Bungalow has sold.
Dear. So that's
Where would the best place be to reside Sam Burgess, Sam Sankey? We don't want him in Stockton Heath, do we? We don't want him there.
Well, Appleton is probably his best bet, isn't it? Or unless he's going to commute a bit. Life in the bungalow can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on rodeo. If you like Tokyo and hate what's on the radio, come over to the bungalow. I'd like to show you around. Life in the bungalow can make you feel.
He has got a penthouse apartment currently in Bondi.
Is it worth anything though?
It'd only be worth about 10 million.
Mm. What can you buy with that?
Pickmere Lake?
Do you think he'd like to be in the city centre in Manchester? Or Liverpool, but in one of them penthouse in Manchester? Not much water, though. Not much of a sea view.
happens. I'd stick him out at the back of Great Budworth, if I'm honest. That's where I'd put him.
No. Wow. I don't know if this is... Is this debate going to carry on? Because it's shit.
The Georgian Dragon then on a Monday night for the quiz. Would that be it? The Cocker Budworth. There you go. You can, that's what you can call him, the Cocker Budworth.
I was thinking, actually, Sam, it's funny you say that. I was thinking Cockermouth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Life in the bungalow can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on rodeo. If you like Tokyo and hate what's on the radio, come over to the...
And finally, the Rugby League World Cup will now be held in the Southern Hemisphere in 2026. This follows France pulling out of staging the competition 12 months earlier due to failing to secure funding from the French government. The tournament will be scaled back to feature just 10 teams. And keeping on the international game, England will play Australia in an Ashes Test Series down under in 2025. I'm excited about that one. I'm excited more about the Ashes Series than I am about the World Cup. I think last time the World Cup was held in Sydney, I sent you a picture of me at one of the games and how well it was attended. I don't know if you remember that.
Wasn't that the Lebanon game? Not the Lebanon, but the Lebanon game.
Yeah, yeah. I said to my daughter, I said, let's go early. We'll get a burger and we'll get a good seat before it's, you know, it's a big crowd in. And I got there, like four people watching it. And it was the, you know what? It was the most depressing thing I've ever seen. Because you could walk around the entire ground. I walked past the media box and it had like, Dave Woods was in there. There was a whole heap. Gary Carter was in there. One of the Aussie blokes, can't remember his name now, does that channel. Can't remember what his name is now. Mate of Dennis's.
Oh, God. Not what's his face? What's his fucking Steve Mascard?
They were all in this glass box. Fucking hell, they looked depressed. They were just, it was just, oh, God, I remember looking at it. Even my daughter went, look at the state of that lot, Dad. They all look like that. They all look really depressed. It was, oh.
Have you tuned into Steve Mascard's podcast? Are we giving it a shout out?
Yes, yeah, let's tune into Steve Mascard's podcast with The Mole. It's a good one. Yeah. Excellent. Well done, Steve. Keep the good work. Okay, let's move on to the Catalans review. I'd lost that much interest in writing these reviews. I still had it down as the Castleford review. But nothing gets past the due diligence of the Watt Bevan team. Sam Sankey was all over that. The team was Dufty, Thulis, Matautier, Ratchford, Wrench, Williams, Drinkwater, Dudson, Walker, Vaughan, Curry, Nicholson and Crowther. Interchange bench was Clark, Cassiano, Philbin and Bullock. Caretaker coach Gary Chambers said the players had gone through a lot during the week and he needed them to make them feel good about themselves again. Oh, diddums. Here's the highlights.
Post office clerks put up signs saying position closed.
Pierce with the kick. Tompkins challenging. Kieran challenging. And Adam Kieran, has he got the first try of the game?
And janitors padlock the gates for security.
Here's DaCosta. Pierce. Tompkins. And Tom Davis will get the try this time.
Married ones turn on a chat show.
Well, lovely hands finds Ikavalu. Ikavalu finds Davis. Davis back on the inside. And Pierce will get another Catalan Dragons try.
Please, you know we can't serve anymore.
DaCosta and Chad. Big opportunity this. Big opportunity for Ben Curry. With half-time approaching, that's what Warrington needed.
And every third car is a cab.
And Pierce on the ground, it's with Tyrone May again. May stabs a little kick in. Whitley! Matt Whitley gets the try.
Nothing ever happens. Nothing happens at all. The needle returns to the start of the song and we all sing along like before. And we'll all
drink Porter quickly up on May, but May gets away from him. And then May puts the kick in. It's a lovely kick. And Ikavalu does get the try this time.
While there's nobody there, the Martians could land in the car park and no one would care.
Optimism, the ball over the top, and Pulis will get the try.
And the stars of these films neither die nor get killed, just survive constant action replay. And nothing ever happens, nothing happens at all. The needle returns to the start of the song, and we all sing along like before.
Final score, Warrington 10, Catalans 30. Don't think you've even watched it, have you, Dennis? You've given up, haven't you?
You know what? I had the opportunity to go out on Friday and I said, oh, I might be a bit late. And then I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I saw a bit of the build-up and then I just lost interest after 5 minutes. I just thought, this is more of the same. There's no difference here than I saw at Wakefield. Don't forget, I went to fucking Wakefield. It's not easy.
There's the title of this episode. Forget Sam Burgess. I went to fuck you, Wakefield should be the title.
Gary's getting behind his men. I think he possibly thought that Daryl was criticising him a little bit, and he's going to be part of the changing room chambers, from what I could see. Mm. He wasn't really doing anything in the coaching sort of ways, and he didn't have time to do anything, so he was trying to get them back on board, Sam. That's the way I saw it.
Yeah. I listened to his interview on Sky at the very start of their programme and I was a bit concerned. I can't remember his exact words. I meant to write his exact words down, but anyone can go back and look at it. He said something like, yes, we've looked after them this week and we've asked them to go away and then come back with the way they want to play against Catalans. And I thought, a bit worried about that. And within 10 minutes, the first bit of resilience they were asked to show, it all crumbled again. And I thought, what answers have they come back with?
I'm a bit worried about Gary's due diligence because in 1993, I sold him a Renault Clio at Belchar Motor Company in Latchford. Had he done his due diligence and just travelled down the M62 to Renault Manchester, he would have found that it was on special for $1,500 less.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't be where he is today, would he? You know, I don't think he could actually achieve anything in the time. I think it was not a bad strategy to say, I tell you what, guys, you tell me what you're doing. You go and show me what you made up, this, that, and the other. Well, no,
that
but
worked.
That answers his question then, because he's followed and said, actually, you know what, you're not going to get a week off. We're going to go and, you know, have a look at a few things, and hopefully he would have learnt a lot from just, like, you know, putting it on them and seeing who's in and who's out.
Do you think he will solve the mystery that everyone else is questioning? And that is, Gil Dudson, he carried the ball three times for 22 metres. Why is he in the team?
You have stolen my thunder there, Rob. Oh. I saw the team and I thought, Gil Dudson playing and Bullock not? I thought, how? And once again, Dudson did nothing to change my opinion. I'll give you one little stat. Thomas McCailey, coming back and following that game, has now once again done more metres this year than Gil Dudson.
And he
three games fewer.
Fucking hell.
Alan London, Mr. London Senior.
Big fan.
He's a huge fan of Dudson. He thinks that Vaughan doesn't try when he starts. When Dudson starts as starting prop, Vaughan just goes, fuck it, why shall I try? Vaughan only carried the ball six times for 35 metres. I mean, that's... is that a case of allegiance to Daryl, do you think, Dennis? Was it a case of... You know,
I was going to say, I think he was loyal to Darryl and what he was trying to do, and clearly Vaughan all year has been standout. And at the end of the Wakefield match, I mentioned to you the other day, there was a bit of a handshake and a thanks, mate, at the end of it when Vaughan came off, and Vaughan looked quite distressed because I think he realised it was the end of Darryl's stint at that point. Obviously, I'm surprised he's managed to keep up his motivation this far into the season, having seen, you know, Dudson around him and a couple of others.
Especially as it's not been barbecue weather for him to enjoy his Sunday evenings.
I think that's caught up with him. That might be why he's a bit depressed.
Is it time to ruffle a few feathers? Dufty, to me, is giving far more away than he's actually giving to the side. Is it time that Thulis was given his opportunity at fullback? We've seen Thulis, when he has come into the line on a few occasions in the middle of the field, score some belters this year, Sam. Do you think, I mean, Dufty must be cussing us an absolute arm and a leg, and we've got this young kid getting clattered on the wing.
I am a fan of Dufty when he's got the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
But there are huge question marks over him defensively. In fact, I can't remember which try it was. We're not going to go through the tries, are we? But in the second half, when one of the kicks through...
Doesn't even bother, does he?
Well, it wasn't just that. He started running towards the left wing to cover that play, and with a very simple, he didn't even look like much of a dummy from the acting half, who just threw it towards their left, and Dufty was running in the wrong direction, huge hole, kick behind, there you go. It's a complete misread of the play.
There was another one that I think it was their last try where they kicked through on their right hand side.
Yeah.
And it was a bit hard to tell because the camera angle changed halfway through the play, but he looked like he made no effort to get across.
But that was the one that they picked up, the one you were on about there, they picked up on the commentary, didn't they? And they said, if he'd have sprinted from the off, he'd have had a chance. He might not have got there.
Just didn't care.
But his first action, he didn't see the danger. I would say it's not that he doesn't care. He just looks a bit to me like that young child at school who doesn't want to do any defending. He just wants the ball. And people say, you need to work hard. And he's like, but I want to do that bit. No, but you've got to do it both. You've got to do both of them, haven't you?
When I was sat in front of Darryl at the Castleford match, Darryl wasn't happy with him. And at one point, I think it is on the microphone, he said, what the fucking hell is Dufty doing? Fucking tell him to get back in defence. Fucking my mother-in-law said to me that fucking bloody hell. And it was clear that he's a bit of a law in himself when it comes to defence. I've noticed it many times.
Law,
because it's, you know, Chambers is taking over, so we should all be under control. But I have noticed that not only is he like a bit weak, but he's actually out of position a lot of the time when you're on goal line defence.
Drop him. He's shit. I'm sick of going round in circles. Get rid of him. Drop him. Get through this there.
In terms of errors, Dufty's made 21 errors this year. Thewlis 19.
Yeah.
Ratchford 22.
You can't.
Cassiano 22, and Cassiano's hardly on the pitch, of course. So he's making a lot of errors, but that game was poor, wasn't he? He was really bad that game.
Yeah. And if put in a performance like that in the NRL, see you later, son. At Warrington,
we'll just write you down next week again. Is that all right, Matt? You always play a fullback again. You don't need to put an effort in. You know, I know you're very good on the ball, but when you haven't got it, you're pretty shit. But don't worry, we won't change the team.
I think, Rob, you're right. Rob, you are right, but I think we will have to see, on the assumption that Ashton comes back fit next, then he's suddenly got an option, hasn't he, to potentially move Thewlis. He didn't really this week.
I still think Ashton has the potential of being an incredible fullback. I mean, he lost his way a bit there the other year, but he's great on the wing, but we've got options, like you said, Sam. When we've got options, we can't justify... And surely, there's someone at the club that
McTow's
can
here. Full
do
back.
Better stats than Dudson.
You put Matautia at fullback. Come on, let's get full Matautia at fullback. He's not played there yet. He needs to show his what his defence is like. I think you could put him there. Don't laugh me off. What?
Oh no, his attempt to catch that ball for their first try. For
didn't
God's
even
sake,
try, did he?
No. Oh, it was one again.
Let me just look at it on the list.
There's no pace in the centres at all. We said it at the start of the year. It doesn't matter who you've got. Ratchford kicks goals for fun, but he's offering nothing else anymore, the poor lad.
No, he's not.
Both the centres need to go. I mean, I was all for signing Gildart, but you two were against that.
Forget that. How did Jordan Crowther play? Did he do
good
anything?
Point.
He showed commitment, and apparently he's going somewhere else next year, isn't he? So
yes, he is.
Oh, I get the impression now. Also, we've given up on this year. It's like we've kind of written the year off.
Of course we have. What else are you looking for?
We're fifth in the table.
Yes.
Chambers should be saying, fuck next year. Let's go and win it this year, boys.
Yeah, but I can see your stats coming up and the form of the last six games and who we classed with and where we'd be. What's there to look forward to, you daft bugger?
Round 21 results. Castleford 0, Huddersfield 28, Wigan 64, Hull KR 6. They didn't care with the Challenge Cup coming up next week. Hull 42, Wakefield 4, Leeds 6, Lee 13. They did put a team out.
Great
Salford
game.
15, and Saints scrape it again, don't they, with winning 18-15. We have six rounds to go. At the moment, Warrington find themselves in fifth position, but Hull KR are on their heels in sixth on the same amount of points. And then we have Salford and Hull also in the fight on 20 points each. Even Leeds and Huddersfield now, coming home with a wet sail, are on 18 points. So all within either 2-4 points of Warrington. The six rounds left to play. We've got Leeds away, Hull away, Castleford at home, Salford away, St Helens at home, and Huddersfield away. How many are we winning, Sam?
On the form we've shown over the last 10 weeks...
Jesus.
Maybe one. what you've got to think is this 2 weeks now going to make any difference?
Oh, are we buying two new centres?
No, we're not.
Yeah. Are we getting a new fullback?
Possibly.
Will they be dropping Dudson?
Hopefully.
There's hope. There's hope. Dennis, how many of the six are we winning? You've lost it tonight. You're in a funny mood. The season's got to you, hasn't it?
It has. The past week, all the events that have happened in the past week,
at what point did your elastic limit kick in? Was it the Middleton interview? Was it which bit was it? Was it the Catalans game? Which point did you kind of break?
It was the bit that when Holbrook turned us down, and I thought
that was the bit.
Yeah, because then I thought it was like, no, it was between that bit. I was thinking, right, okay, so now we're going to take our time. It won't be a knee-jerk reaction. We're going to do our due diligence, and we're going to take the rest of the season to make sure we get the right guy. And then he came back a couple of days later and said Sam Burgess. I just thought, oh, fuck this. This is bullshit. The next six games, I was thinking to myself, realistically, you'd want to be winning four of those to keep you in the top six. But where we're at, I can't see us winning more than two. Now, I'm only saying that because I'm hoping that Gary Chambers can work his magic over these next 2 weeks. I don't think we've seen anything that he can influence yet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when we play the first match. Who is it against?
Leeds. Away.
Oh yeah, I'm going. Shit, I need to organise that. Fucking hell.
The change of coach has brought about a light being shone on Wire's recruitment policy. The most common opinion seems to be that we need to trust the youth more rather than signing ageing overseas players. If you look across our more successful rivals like St Helens, you see Roby, Lomax, Percival and Makinson backed up by newer blood of Wellesby and Dodd. Wigan have the likes of Smith, Farrell and Marshall in their team and have also produced people like Sam Tompkins, Oliver Gildart and George Williams who have all gone on to play in the NRL. The thing is, these two clubs, and you can include Catalans in it as well with their influx of young French talent, have a constant production line of youngsters who are good enough to make the step up to the first team. Conversely to popular opinion, I don't think it's a case of why you're not wanting to use their youth, I just think they're not producing players of the requisite standard often enough. So in the current side we have Fewless and Wrench, as well as Philbin and Curry, who have been around for a while. But in the period between, we've seen people like Ellis Longstaff, Eribe Doro, Morgan Smith to name just a few, who've been given plenty of chances before it's been concluded that they're not quite at the level needed. Why are we not producing these standard of players? Is it to do with geography, culture, mentality, finances? I've no idea. But to quantify how rare it is for players from Wires Academy to nail down a place in the first team, out of interest, how many players do you think you would say in the last 12 years have come into the side and made more than 100 appearances? The answer is just 4. Ben Curry, Toby King, Joe Philbin and Declan Patton. Wire have got to somehow find a way of getting it right in the academy and producing more players capable of playing in the first team. And it's not just as simple as stop signing overseas players and play the academy instead. Because every team uses overseas players. Lee have been praised rightly for their use of the overseas quota this season. The likes of Lou Telly, Lamb, Asiata and O'Donnell have been terrific for them. The point I'm getting at is this. Maybe Wire are just targeting the wrong type or profile of overseas player. But the key is to using that quota much better. We once had the Monaghan brothers, Chris Hicks, Brett Hodgson and Trent Waterhouse all in the same team to name just a few. Because recently we've had people like Lulani Latu, Jason Clark, Greg Inglis, Billy Magulius and Peter Metautia, people have lost faith in our ability to use the quota effectively to bolster the squad. I think Rob mentioned on the podcast recently that we have an ad hoc squad. So maybe then the key is to finding a bit more balance between our use of the academy and the overseas quota.
What do you make of that? Has Daniel hit the mark?
By and large, I agree with Daniel there. And I didn't cheat when he said just 4 players have played 100 games. Who are they?
Mm.
I would never have picked Dec Patton in a million years. never have. It's just bonkers, isn't it?
You agree, though, with Daniel?
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Rob?
Broadly, yes.
Do you agree with Daniel, Rob?
Yeah, I always agree with Daniel. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with Daniel.
So basically, our youth development is shit, basically, is what he's saying. And you both agree. Who's in charge of the youth development?
No, I don't think the youth development's shit. I think there's some really good lads in the youth development.
But they're not going to be good enough.
Some of them will be good enough. You're just pulling from a very small pool in Warrington, aren't you, to find the talent. That's more of the problem. The lads that I watch that youth team, and boy, I wish our first team would show so much commitment as they show, which is why I like Gary Chambers. If you ever watch any of the games at Vicky Park, they don't half put an effort in, those lads. Mm.
So is it a scouting issue?
It's not. I just don't think there's the capacity for that much talent in the UK. They're not playing rugby league anymore.
Mm.
And that's why we've got Dufty playing fullback every week and not being dropped.
Also, it is a fact that when you've only got, I don't know, shall we say 20 kids who are going to be good per year, who are going to be good enough to play Super League, then St Helens, Wigan and Leeds are still the big cachet names. And if they get a chance to go there, unless they're born in Latchford and they've always worn primrose and blue and always gone to the games, if they're from somewhere else, think, Should I go to Warrington? Or has Sean Wayne just been on the phone to me? No, I'm going to Wigan.
Yeah, but now be Sam Burgess on the phone to them.
Nah, well, actually, you make a good point, and I know I'm going to go back. That is a good point. If he does start well, can you imagine people who are going to say, wow, I want to go and experience that, you know? Mm. But he needs to start well, doesn't he?
I'm just thinking there needs to be maybe, I'm only asking that question, playing devil's advocate in the courtroom, to just really elicit a response that would say, well, how do we solve this problem? Should we not put more emphasis on it in the future? Who's guilty?
The club have won awards. Have won awards for their
Super League
youth setup.
Oh.
But no, they've got a fabulous setup. I don't know. Are we too nice? Do we try and pick up nice, well-rounded individuals?
If you listen back to the Tony Barrow interview, he makes a good point. When he came in at Warrington, he said he wanted the best. He was fed up of people coming to him with players that weren't the best. Mm. And he had to keep reiterating the point to them. No, stop sending me him. Stop. Go out, search the whole of the Northwest and bring me the best. That's all I want.
Mm.
And he got some absolute belters from getting the best. But
leadership.
I'm not sure. I would think that the talent has diminished significantly in the last 25 years. You know, we talk about, I mean, I don't want my young lad to play rugby league. I don't mean anywhere near a field of rugby league, you know. It's just the way it is, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
The way of the world. Now, put your sun cream on, boys, because having received over 50 downloads from destinations in the Mediterranean over the last few weeks, it seems the What Bevan listeners are currently on holiday. The podcast was downloaded from 7 different Greek islands, which Sam Sankey is now going to read out.
I've never heard of Volos, Corfu, Kos. I've never heard of that one either.
Are you going to have a crack at that one? Heraklion, is it?
Heraklion.
What's the next one?
Oh, I can never say
oh,
that.
Oh, that's going to be a tricky Lonica. One for him. Thessaloniki or something, is it? And Zante, otherwise known as Zakynthos.
Zante isn't the correct name either. Zante's not the correct name, is it?
Zakynthos. I went on holiday to Zakynthos once with a very rich girl from Appleton. She lived next door to Robert Bilton, who was the... remember Eileen Bilton? And he was the... he owned American Golf. And we went to Zakynthos, and she had some very expensive suitcases that her mother had given her, and I vomited into them in the bedroom.
Excellent work.
You're a catch, you were, weren't you? You're a real catch.
Okay, well, anyway, after today's credits, Hallie's going to read out all the locations where the listeners download the podcast from. And if you write to wwwbbsp@gmail.com, you'll go in the hat to win a prize that Dennis is going to forward to you. So you've got the prize ready, Dennis? Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Just drank it.
Any of those places that stood out for you? I put a little list there together, Sam, of our global destinations. I mean, some of them. We cover every continent now, looking at that. It's not a continent we don't cover. Very impressive.
We're just looking for someone to be listening at one of the outposts on the South Pole.
Oh, yeah, we haven't got anyone in the South Pole, but we've got South America covered, North America, Africa's pretty strong.
Ethiopia's a standout one for me.
Who listened in Ethiopia? Yeah. That's what I want to know. And then you look at the British Isles, we're all the way from the top there, all the way down to the bottom. I'm always curious to know who listens in Guernsey. We get two downloads in Guernsey every week. If you're listening in Guernsey, can you get in contact with us? And Dennis will send you a prize, won't you, Dennis?
Yeah. Oh, Christ. What's the point of this anyway, around the globe shit?
Nothing. I was just fascinated to see, you know, just see our downloads. Right. And now we've got the, you know, they've updated
You're not doing the British Isles one as well, are you?
Yeah, Hal does them all. Does them all. Oh, yeah. Strap in for that at the end, after the music.
Oh, good morning, Gareth. You seem to be 18 minutes early.
No, I breeze through like that. The maths lesson, Ralphie. No problem at all, like parking a Renault Clio as well.
Oh, and may I just say, Gary, congratulations on your new appointment. But was it really a good idea to close up your chambers for a few days, just to come away with us on this team bonding camping weekend? I mean, I haven't seen such a bold expedition since Michaela Strachan tried to circumnavigate Mr. Smith during a Hitman and Her night, you know, without getting her ass pinched.
Are you sure, Ralphie, it wasn't a badger?
No, Gary. I think you're thinking of Spring Watch. Why don't you bang that gong and get all the players up for the first round of the morning exercises with you? I'm sure under the new regime, we'll be on the rise quicker than a Yorkshire pudding.
Hey, that's no way to talk about Darryl.
Why, the right-edge defence has been so disorganised, shit. When Darryl organised our day trip to Walton Gardens, half the players had eaten their pat lunches before we'd even made it as far as the Lord Rodney roundabout.
I wish we'd made George Williams go to the toilet, Ralphie, before we hit the motorway. It was dangerous, you know, like pulling over on the embankment, like, and having a tinkle with all the traffic rumbling past.
Oh, don't worry about that, Gary. With our back line, he's used to pissing in the wind. Oh, and Gareth, could you please have a word with Mr. Vaughan? Those Benny Westwood sausage baguettes he cooked on the campfire last night weren't up to scratch.
I'm not sure he used to barbecuing, Ralphie, with such mediocrity combustion, like, you know, and on the rusty old grill that's just slowly rotates, it only looks like it's warming on the edges.
Oh, well, that's no way to talk about Ben Curry.
I enjoyed the rock climbing activity yesterday, Ralphie, before we set up camp, like, with the harness on. I feel quite safe.
Oh, yes. It must have been a refreshing change. Darryl did spend most of his time plummeting down the table. Oh, and by the way, Gary, did Josh Hewyless ever make it up there?
No, Ralphie, apparently you didn't have the legs for it.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'd completely forgotten. He was crimping up. Oh, yes. Now, I really must tell you about Ben Zahala. He's supposed to be running the fitness class, especially with Claire Baldwin taking the time out of her busy schedule to participate, to join in.
Hey, go ahead. Here he comes now.
Is that you, campers?
Oh, I'm not sure about this, Ben. You do know I'm the non-executive director of the Government Sports and Culture. Which, may I just remind you, it's nothing to do with yoghurt.
Now, let's give it a better go this morning, everyone. Yesterday afternoon, Claire, what did you think of it?
Between us, we were all pretty bloody awful.
Don't put yourself down. Now fling. And in. Now fling. And in. And fling. And in. And fling. And in. That's right, boys and Miss Balding. I really want to see you stick those chests out. Come on, and fling. And in. And fling. Oh, good heavens! Oh, what would Mother do?
Quick, Gareth. Cover her up before she takes someone's eye out. Oh, and get psychiatrist Sir H.J. set up an emergency traumatised surgery in Professor Broomhead's 12-man tent.
I didn't get where I am today without knowing the camping's all about pulling back the flaps, putting up your pole and slipping it into an old bag.
Super.
Not now, Benji.
Oh, great. Just wait till Gary Carter at the Sun gets hold of this scoop.
Oh, tackle sacks.
Do you think it'll make the back pages?
Well, looking at the size of Miss Baldwin's winner's shields, Gary, I'm expecting it'll be more like page 3.
If there was one thing that the events of last week meant, it meant that despite the writer's strike in Hollywood, somebody had to write a new sitcom. Now, I like the premise, Rumpole of the Chambers. I tell you what, getting Claire Balding on to do a guest spot was very good. When did she record that for you? That was very good of her, wasn't it?
Dennis did the impersonation.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have to get in the zone then.
We've got a scouse, Gary Chambers.
What's going on there? Is he the Jan Molby of rugby league? Because he clearly grew up in Cumbria, but he's got a little bit of scouse going on. What's happened there? I mean, that's interesting because you'd have thought, if he's got that scouse in his voice, he'd have probably bought the Renault Clio from Renault Merseyside.
Fuck off.
Interesting that he drove over to Latchford.
Did you enjoy it, Sam?
I enjoyed that, and I also was taken back. I'm not sure whether you actually cut in the actual sound effect from Carry On Camping.
Yes,
did you?
Yes.
There's one for the older listeners there.
Mm. You like that bit. Dirty bastard.
Join him on a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of vlogging and the M62. Dennis Waywell is on a mission to keep rugby league alive. In a world of camper vans and reasonably priced tarpaulins. In northern towns where kids have blue drinks for their tea. Introducing tackle bags. No way, tackle vlogs. No hang on, tackle books. Nope, that's wrong too. I had it right the first time. He just can't even be arsed to rebadge it. Welcome to Dennis's Tackle Bags. Or just skip forward for about 15 minutes.
Well, I've got a bit of a problem here because I've got nothing written down to this week.
I never knew you did.
So I've not actually put any effort in this week.
Have you recovered? You saw that? I mean, I watched the YouTube.
Did you?
I kind of, you know, I fast-forwarded through it.
But it was a long one. Well done.
I know, Mrs. London went, 52 minutes or something. She sort of looked up from her book. I said, don't worry, I'll have it done in three and a half minutes.
Good. So, did you get the gist? Yeah.
I listened to the Richard bit, the Richard Shaw right bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a very flattering angle for either of you, the way you had the camera.
No, I know.
Get it another metre higher.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was doing it on the hoof. I didn't even know where we were going to sit. I like Wakefield. I thought it was a very...
I like Richard.
Experience. You like Richard. I know.
He's a bloody lovely man. Salt of the earth, that lad. Yeah. Salt of the earth.
I tell you one thing. He doesn't half kick into Mr. TV when you put him in front of a camera.
Professional. Yeah. Professional.
I know. I was like...
Like Sam Sankey.
Yeah. He just straight into it off the bat. few things about Wakefield. I think they certainly got, they're making the changes. I can't help feeling that the new stand and everything is edging the bets if we go back to a franchise system when IMG come in and they're getting themselves prepared
when
for
When are
that.
They coming in?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know if that's happening.
Have they arrived yet, IMG?
Has anybody arrived?
Sorry. They've been to the tennis.
There seems to be a lot of people on the outskirts and around the edges, but have they actually taken a hold of anything? I don't know. Maybe that's the whole Sam Burgess signing. Maybe he's an IMG.
Is that right,
plant.
Sam Sankey?
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
Notice Willie Peters was there scouting some players. He was knocking about. Somebody did come in the changing rooms from the Wakefield staff and said someone hasn't got a job in the morning. I know it's old news now, but that was quite
Willie
interesting.
Who's Willie Peters? Wasn't he?
Oh, he's going to Wembley this week. He's got OKR to the final, hasn't he?
Wasn't he in the? Didn't he like precede Philip Schofield in the Broom Club? Wasn't his name Willie Peters?
No, you need to.
Wasn't Willie Peters? No.
We need another interruption here for the take us off air. So anyway, watch the video. It's 50 minutes long. You can take five sessions of 10 minutes. Take the week to have a look at that. And drop us a few comments in, why don't you? And Rob's going to buy me a coffee anyway, he said,
I was running a bit of a well-being course this week, and I brought in a girl to do a well-being session for the boys. And she just happened to mention that she's starting a YouTube channel. And she said, do you know anyone who does YouTube? And I just stopped myself. I was like, no, I don't. No.
Excellent work. Anyway, out of all this, and it was quite apt, I came up with the tackle bags idea. And it was whilst in conversation with Richard, we were talking about why Jordan Crowley was coming.
Richard.
Yeah, he's a lovely bloke. And why Jordan Crowther's coming to Wakefield, and we were questioning, you know, why Warrington would want him. And it was a bit of a funny question because, like, you know, we've got a squad of players.
But it was a funny question asking him why is Jordan Crowther coming to Wakefield.
Yeah, I think I asked him about Warrington, so you can cut that bit out and make me sound great again. And anyway, it came up with this thing. I thought, you know what, what we should do with clubs is run them a bit leaner and save a bit of money. Is rather than having a squad of 30, why don't we just have a squad of 17 players? And then what we could do is we could have a new system called the Player Leasing Exchange Bank, which would essentially allow clubs to sort of lease players on a weekly or, you know, monthly basis and just add to the squad so you never have to decide because there's that much shenanigans with transfers at this time of year. It's ridiculous, players going back in two. So why not just streamline the whole thing, say that we're going to stick with 17 and then just then say, oh, right, I'll have him this week. And it's almost like, is it called a draft in...
Under
that
the door.
Cricket match.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah.
Is it the 10-10?
Well, I presume they brought on Jordan Crowther because the price is right. Oh, no, that was Leslie Crowther.
Oh, very good. Very good. Oh, God. He's done that one off the cuff as well. He didn't even have to write that down. So, yeah, if you think that's a good idea, let us know on the podcast. Just write. Where can you write to us, Rob, on the podcast? Have we got any?
www.bbsp@gmail.com.
Right, is it www?
No, just it's an acronym for What Would Brian Bevan Say Podcast. No, it's not. No, and did you know that it's actually quicker to say World Wide Web than www.
What was that again?
It's quicker. It's quicker to say, even though they make it an acronym, it's actually quicker to say World Wide Web than www.
I'm not sure you're actually saying it. Okay, yeah, so write to us, and then if it's a good idea, I will be writing to Ralph Rimmer in his new role as Director of Sport and Culture at the government, and we can see if we can implement it in the RFL with his influence, because he's still part of it.
How many more weeks have we got to go? How many more?
I know, it's all shit from here.
I just can't stop looking at his wig like that. He keeps pulling that little bit that's going into his eyes.
Stop getting aroused, Sankey.
You know what he looks like? He looks like
a cunt?
Life of Brian.
Oh, right,
Life
sorry.
Life of Brian.
You know what I look like? I look like him in Rising Damp. What's his name?
Don't you I? Look like Jenny Powell off The Word. Is that a name?
Predictions.
Afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
It's two away dates for Wire as they travel east on the M62 on consecutive weekends. First up, according to Google Maps, it's a 59-mile trip to Headingley to face Leeds on Sunday the 20th of August, followed by a 109-mile commute to take on Hull at the MKM Stadium on Saturday the 26th of August.
222 miles for me.
Here's Hal.
Hello. It's Hal. Okay. My next two predictions are Round 22. Leeds versus Warrington. Leeds to win by 10 points. Round 23. Hull versus Warrington. Hull to win by 9 points. By the way, I'm hearing this Gary Chambers bloke is a math teacher. Did you know I can solve any mathematical equation in under a hundredth of a second? Although it would take me a fucking eternity to solve Warrington's right edge defense.
Pessimism has started to hit the algorithms of Hull, Sam, and I have to agree, although I think they've gone a little bit lenient on the scorelines. They've gone for Leeds to beat Wire by 10 points and Hull to beat Wire by 9. Are you in agreement?
Mm. No. Play Costin's gone. They've got no playmaker. He's not going to do the big step.
Oh,
we're going to win by 16. We're going to cruise that, absolutely cruise that. And then we're going to go over to Hull and we're going to put magic right. We're going to win that by 24. We're going to absolutely... Total new dawn. Chambo is going to sort them out. Job done. I don't believe any of that I've just said, though.
Yeah. Do you want to do another version now?
Padgate to Halls of Residence, Carnegie, Headingley, 52 minutes. Anyone beat that? That's what I did it in.
50, yes.
52 minutes.
Yes.
But
1.1 Ford Fiesta as well, may I add.
Well, there you go, you see. Chambers had no chance, did he? In his fucking shitty Clio you sold him. And it was only because it was a bloody woman that you never managed to get anything on with anyway. And let's move on. Rob, what do you think about the scores? Do you think we could win the next two games?
No, can we? Fuck, no chance whatsoever. Jesus. Not a chance. We haven't got any centres. We haven't got a fullback. We've got a prop that makes 3 metres a game. How are we going to win? Just come into the room, everyone. Reality. Oh, dear. Challenge Cup prediction, boys. This weekend. Anyone going to... You going to watch it, Sam?
I'm actually quite interested in this Challenge Cup for the first time in several years. I think I'll be watching this.
Are you going?
I'm interested to see... What, no. There's levels of interest. This is Lee. Lee and Hull KR.
Are you going on the Rob round, Lee?
It is refreshing that these two there. I'm looking to see a big, wide-open game. I'm looking forward to that. Couldn't predict it at all. I just think it'd be high scoring. Couldn't predict the winner, I mean. It'll just be high scoring.
So you're refusing to predict the score as well?
Yeah. He's just
36-34 to Lee.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I watch it if it's like that.
Great game. Great game.
Are you getting up for that, Rob?
No.
What time will that be for you?
No.
Yes, you will.
That shit.
You won't be able to sleep.
Not remotely interested in watching that.
I'll send you a little WhatsApp message for when you wake up.
God. Prediction?
I won't give a shit, I'll be shit-faced.
Okay, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Now that we've got our new coach, everything will be fine. So from a man that used to ride on a Barry's Cooper coach to school, it's a backseat wave from Sam.
All the best.
From an old lad that went on a coach trip to the beer cellar that ended up in an all-in brawl, it's a bloody nose goodbye from Dennis.
Senor.
And from me, who was once coached by the number 7th-ranked tennis player in Czechoslovakia, it's an ahoy from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Between us, we were all pretty bloody awful.
Bloody hell, you're good, Dennis. You said that without even moving your lips. Cost more than gold. The longer you stay, the more you pay. My white lines go a long way, either up your nose or through your vein, with nothing to gain except killing your brain.
Right then, email in if you live in any of these places to go in the draw to win a prize. The email address is wwbbsp@gmail.com. Starting with our international listeners. The countries are Australia, Canada, India, the United States, Germany, Spain, Switzerland, Thailand, Ireland, Singapore, New Zealand, Turkey, Portugal, United Arab Emirates, France, Sweden, Italy, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Malaysia, Morocco, Brazil, Netherlands, Malta, Saudi Arabia, Bulgaria, South Korea, Belgium, Barbados, Israel, Hungary, Ethiopia, Argentina, Chile, Tunisia, Cyprus, Norway, Philippines, Turks and Caicos Islands, Jamaica, Saint Lucia, Taiwan, Republic of China, Iceland, Vietnam, South Africa, Ecuador and Kenya. Who the fuck listens in Kenya? Anyway, now moving on to downloads from the British Isles. And let's face it, some of these places are utter shitholes. Here goes. Warrington, Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool, York, St. Helens, Bury, Runcorn, London, Bradford, Chester, Sheffield, Birmingham, Shipston-on-Stour, Bolton, Wakefield, Wigan, Wrexham, Huddersfield, Newton Le Willows, Chesterfield, Hull, Nottingham, Andover, Widnes, Sudbury, Hamilton, Belfast, Blackburn, Greenock, Edinburgh, Plaistow, Streatham, Leicester, Conwy, Slough, Winsford, Halifax, Tewkesbury, Enfield, Colwyn Bay, Milton Keynes, Blackheath, Stockport, Newcastle upon Tyne, Wolseley, Stirling, Lee, Stoke-on-Trent, Salford, Bangor, Harrow, Ellesmere Court, Hounslow, Deeside, Butley, Luton, Horsham, West Dulwich, Plymouth, Walthamstow, Llandudno, Caterham, Saltburn-by-the-Sea, Swindon, Chorley, Peterborough, Liversedge, Grimsby, Acton, Poplar, Oldham, Dewsbury, Brighouse, Tamworth, Hexham, Barnsley, Walsall, East Dulwich, West Drayton, Llanelli, Birkenhead, Ripon, Flint, Rhyl, Basingstoke, Glenrothes, Inverurie, Rochdale, Glasgow, Newport, Newcastle-under-Lyme, Paddington, Camberley, Oxford, Belsize Park, Harlesden, Croydon, Crewe, and at either end of the country, the Channel Islands, and finally, Fort William.